The vision of joy offered in Isaiah chapter 35 is one in which all things of heaven and nature, plant, animal, human, are set free in the reign of God. This is verses 1 through 10 from the Common English Bible. The desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of Lebanon, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the Lord's glory, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and support the unsteady knees. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, don't fear. Here's your God coming with vengeance, with divine retribution. God will come to save you. Then the eyes of those who cannot see will be opened, and the ears of those who cannot hear will be cleared. Then those who cannot move will leap like the deer, and the tongue of those who cannot make a sound will sing. Waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground fountains of water. The jackal's habitat a pasture. Grass will become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. The unclean won't travel on it, but it will be for those walking on that way. Even fools won't get lost on it. No lion will be there, and no predator will go up on it. None of these will be there. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away. In our next scripture, we see that joy doesn't wait for struggle to be over. Mary rejoices in the iconic scripture passage during her pregnancy, a state of affairs that would have put her in a position of dishonor among her people. Instead, she sings out powerfully because she knows that this turn of events will usher in the presence of justice for the oppressed and freedom for the captive. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55, known as the Magnificat, from the Message paraphrase. And Mary said, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. God's mercy flows in waves after wave on those who are in awe before him. God bared an arm and showed strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. God knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. God embraced the chosen child Israel. God remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what God promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now.
One thing we forgot to do so far in our service is to do our preparatory prayer. So let us prepare our hearts for joy with this prayer, our motion prayer. We prepare our eyes for wonder. Put your hands over your eyes like binoculars. We're looking for joy. Prepare our ears for music. Cup your hands behind your ears. We prepare our hands for compassion with our jazz hands. We prepare our hearts for joy. Hands over your hearts. We prepare our lives for you, Holy God. Amen. Many of us have known someone who is genuinely happy. Just naturally seems to have a sense of joy undergirding them. Many of us have known such a person that is happy, genuinely happy. yet has plenty of reason not to be. For me, my person in my life that I would most exemplify is a man I knew by the name of Ron Lofton. Ron was a man who I worked with as a home health aide in Columbus when I was a grad student there. He had MS. He was confined to a wheelchair. He was a quadriplegic. He had a lot of health complications because of that. He could still work. He had a state job working at Columbus State, but he was not rich. He had a humble apartment. Yet, he seemed to have just a sense of groundedness, being joyful. He was kind. He was generous with his things and time. He smiled a lot. He laughed gregariously. He was easy to like. He had a lot of friends. I was dismayed to learn a few weeks ago that he had died in the last few years. When we had separated, it was before the age of Facebook, and so I didn't connect with him. And I'm not sure quite what happened. He would have been in his upper 50s. Contrast to that, many of us have known someone who seemed happy, who had every reason to be happy, but yet was not happy. For me, the first person that comes to mind is a man by the name of Seth Euler. Seth was in a group of friends of mine in the 2000s, that decade. He was always kind of the life of the party. He had a lot of energy. Now, he had some marital difficulties, but he was recently, once again, happily married. He had a new family, a few young kids. He seemed very happy. Moreover, he seemed to have found God, as they say. He started seminary a few years after me at the same place. And he seemed to be doing well in his ministry. He had a new congregation east of Columbus. I was dismayed that 5 years ago, Seth took his own life in 2014 when I was in California. We human beings seem to be unique in valuing happiness like we do. Now, there's animals, of course, who are happy and joyful, but we have this in spades. We also have this quality that we're able to access joy at a deep level. We are emotional creatures. We are created to be like that. We need connection. We value relationship and well-being. How many of us, when asked what is most important in our lives, will name the most important people in our lives, right? Friends and family members. How much effort and stress and time and heartache do many people go through in our society trying to find the right mate who is fulfilling for us? Online dating has now surpassed the 3 billion mark just in this country as an industry. So, all this being said, happiness is very important to us. It is a goal of ours to seek happiness. It's a motto even of our country, right? Life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. What is happiness? Joy. Is happiness joy? It's a question we had at our Sunday school this morning. Seth was happy. But as we learned later on, he lacked a lot of joy. In general, I believe happiness is at the surface level. And too often, we as a church deal with things that are just on the surface. We get sucked into that model, that marketing pool, that we are marketing happiness. We want to be happy, come to church to get a sense of happiness. Well, there's plenty of other places out there that peddle that to you, other people, self-help gurus. We have to get beyond platitudes. We have to get to the root cause of why we are deficient in joy. People's hearts. Mary, like my friend Ron, had plenty of reason to not be happy, to be upset. How will she explain her pregnancy to her family? Even worse, to Joseph. How would she be looked at in her hometown of Nazareth? People might think she's crazy with her story about an angel. She risks being stoned to death. Yet, she says these words at the beginning of our scripture today in the Magnificat. He has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. The servant being Mary, him being God. Surely all generations will call me blessed, me, Mary, the lowly. The mighty one, God, has done great things for me, Mary, as lowly as I am, a girl from Nazareth. Really? How many of us would not have been panicked? But some people see blessings in spite of challenges and difficulties in the world and in their lives. These people we look to. These people are models for us. Perhaps they are special. But I think that we all have the capability to access this joy of Mary in our hearts. It's not that these people don't acknowledge the things that are bad, the things that are wrong in the world, in their lives. They are realistic. They are grounded. They understand these things. They know what's going on. So this is not like they're living in denial. This is not just some sort of Pollyannish faith that glosses over things. They say and they think to themselves, life might be hard, but, and it is in the but, that key word that gives them that bridge to joy. Real joy comes with the acknowledgement that there are things that are wrong with this world. We need to deal with that as a church. To acknowledge the things that are wrong in our people's lives, in the community, in the world. We can't just gloss over that. Many people ask themselves, well, what's the difference between going to church and just seeing my therapist, or going to a self-help group or your 12-step group? What is the difference? The difference is if we deal with the root, if we deal with the spiritual cause of our joyful deficiencies. Otherwise, people will go someplace else. And people do go other places if they don't find meaning here. Mary knows that there are things wrong with the world. Isaiah knows this very well. That's why they talk of justice, making things right. The best stories of joy, you know this, the best stories of joy, authentic, real joy, come out of difficulties and difficult circumstances and challenges, right? In your lives, in the stories of people you know, in the stories that we read about that make good stories. It's a wonderful life. Triumph after adversity. Acknowledgement. Accomplishment after hard work. How truly joyous have we been on these occasions? How fulfilling has it been when we emerge from a dark place and see the sun again? That's joy. I urge you that if you feel like you're faking it somehow, if you feel like you're just skin deep, if you're just glossing over things, if you're just putting on a happy face to cover up your pain, that you consider coming next week to our longest night service, or seek help for yourself. Talk to someone, a friend, somebody that can hear you out, a professional. Tend to yourselves, tend to your heart, tend to your spirit. this season. For Christians, real joy comes from the heart, the root of all things. It comes with the knowledge that when you feel like you are alone, that you are not alone. That when you think that you're carrying all your burdens by yourself, that you're not. That there's somebody there helping you with that. It's when you think that no one understands you or cares about you, that there is somebody that does. It's God. This gives us our core of being. This gives us the ability to rebound from whatever has happened to us and whatever will happen to us. So let's be about the work of acknowledging our realities, tending to our hearts and minds and souls, to deal with issues so that we can experience the kind of joy that God desires for each and every one of us. Amen.